Other announcements this morning. Julia.
I'm selling raffle tickets as a fundraiser for Young Life, which is a Christian organization for high schoolers that me and my sisters do. So if you want to buy one, see me after church.
So Johnny is not here, and so I was having to set up PowerPoint and stuff today. He runs this little enterprise, and we could use some more help on that. He's refused to announce it to everybody, but he's great to work with. He's very detail-oriented. He'll even help you with the slides and stuff Kevin's having out today. But yeah, it's trouble when I have to sing and have PowerPoint and teach Sundays the same Sunday.
I'm selling popcorn or you could sell popcorn to the military. It's 10 through 55 for the Boy Scouts. Yeah.
See Andy for that.
I just wanted to announce that the Sunday morning Bible studies are going to resume starting next Sunday. And under the leadership of Jerson Rocha and Glenn Ramsey, they are going to be doing a study on the book of Mark. So anyone is interested, anyone is welcome to attend. If anyone is interested, please attend. It starts at 9 a.m. before service. They will be meeting downstairs. And if you have any questions, please see myself or Glenn Ramsey or Jerson. Thanks. Right.
Coming towards Glenn. Glenn gets the next one.
We have over 2 pages of signatures of support for the AIDS walk next Saturday, but we have several more pages that can be filled up, so don't be hesitant. Come around to the table, sign up, show your support by offering money or by coming around to the AIDS walk next Saturday downtown at the State House. On the back of your bulletin tells you how to contribute electronically and be a part of the Presbyterian team that way. Come on out.
This Thursday, the men's fellowship group will be meeting. It's open to all men of the congregation. Andrew Foster is hosting. You'll see additional details in the bulletin. If you have any questions, feel free to contact myself or Andrew. Thank you.
I'd like to thank Mary Ann Harrison for organizing Camp Street and getting some of our college folks there when some of us other ones were all out of town. So thank you, Mary Ann. I don't even know if she's here, and thank you for the helpers. Oh, she is back there. All right.
That's an announcement too, I would imagine. Or two, with regard to college fellowship.
For the college students, we're going to have a college welcome back barbecue next Sunday at 11:30 after worship, and we'll just have it outside, given the weather's good. Also, we're going to start our monthly college fellowship brunches, and so we're looking for some hosts. Our first one is October 6th, so if anyone would be able to host the College Fellowship Brunch on October 6th. Come see me or Matt. We have book group this Tuesday at my house. Monday. I always get that wrong. And I have one other one. What was it? Oh, and also if you are able to provide rides for college students, at any time, come see me or Matt. We also have a sign-up list that I will post today that you can put your name and contact information. I can get in touch with you as rides are needed, especially as the weather gets colder. And there was one other one. Oh, yeah. And I also have a list for church school registrations. If anyone, this is a lot of announcements. if anyone is in church school, has not registered yet, come see me. Thank you.
I'm glad Marianne wore red today, so you can find her easily. We are, another way that we assist in the congregation is to help with periodic meals to some of our recently homebound members. And Jackie Cooper has come home from rehab, and we're trying to organize some meals and some meals and some visits for her. So if you can help with that, please see Susan Weber, because we need to update our list of who's available to do that as well for us during the week. Please take note of the community bulletin board that the Rock and Roll Marathon is next Sunday, and we'll be blocking off all kinds of roads. The map is way too complicated for me to speak to all of the ways that you come to church, but the information is posted on the bulletin board, and we'll tell you where streets are closed, and the maps are there, and the website is there, so that you can actually look up Rock and Roll Marathon street closures, and you can find it, find out how it's going to impact you getting to church next week. So, any other announcements this morning? I was glad when they said to me, "Let us go to the house of the Lord. Let us be glad as we come to worship together this day." The steadfast love of the Lord is new every morning. God's grace is abundant. God hears our prayers and forgives our sin, those times when we stumble and fall short of God's will for our lives. Trusting in that Spirit, let us open our hearts now to God, first in silence, then praying together the prayer in our bulletin. Dear Heavenly Father, we lower our heads before you, and we confess that we have too often forgotten that we are yours. Sometimes we carry on our lives as if there was no God, and we fall short of being a credible witness to you. For these things we ask your forgiveness, and we also ask for your strength. Give us clear minds and open hearts, so we may witness to you in our world. Remind us to be who you would have us be, regardless of what we are doing or who we are with. Hold us to you and build our relationship with you and with those you have given us on earth. Let us continue in a spirit of confession as we sing our song of confession through twice. Come and fill our hearts.
number 2157, remaining seated in the small hymnal. This is the truth of God's grace. God did not send the Son into the world to condemn the world, but in order that the world might be saved through him. Believe the good news of the gospel. In Christ we are forgiven. Thanks be to God. Amen.
Now let us share our joy and concern among each other and to our Lord Jesus Christ.
Yesterday, I became reacquainted with two great nieces who are, or maybe they're grand, I don't know, they're daughters of my niece. And they were raised in what commonly is called Sin City. You know where that is? Okay, Las Vegas. They are just starting recovery from cocaine addiction, which they used as medication to calm themselves down from their mother's death and their grandmother's Alzheimer's. And it was at the celebration of my sister-in-law that I was reacquainted with them. I hadn't seen them since they were young teenagers. But they certainly need our prayers, and their names are, one is a single mother too, Aaron and Kristen.
Continued prayers for Betty Sears. She is the mother of my sister-in-law. She had open heart surgery a week ago Friday, and she's now in Summit Rehab Nursing Center, just down the street. And I had let her know that I put her on the or that we were praying for her, and she's very thankful for prayers, and she's doing much better. Thank you.
So I have a joy and a slight concern. So the joy is that the Bryant University Student Union, where I work, is going to be reopening this week after several months of intense renovation. So that's the joy part, because it's pretty great, and we're excited to move back into the building. The concern is that we've got a lot to do over the next few days, so I'd like to ask for prayers as we're in this final frantic sprint to get it all done so the building can open. Thanks.
I'm requesting prayers for my country, Kenya, for the families who have been affected, and the whole entire country. And more so, I have thanks to give to the Lord because my son's wife was there in that mall, and she stayed for 5 hours. But she came out safe, and she's okay. I talked to her this morning. I talked to her yesterday, but she's shaken. Her name is Phyllis. So prayers for Kenya.
I'll just add to that, my aunt and uncle who live in Nairobi are fortunately stateside right now, but I haven't heard anything from my cousin who lives not far from there, so I'm hoping that he will respond today. Another cousin who lives in Eldoret, where Anne was part of our congregation was from, she was in Nairobi about a mile from there with her son who was on school break, but they are headed back home today.
I think it'd be good if we prayed for our confirmands and their safe trip back here, but also good effects from the weekend and for the whole year ahead as they go through confirmation.
If I continued prayers from Walter, who is now on a new medication, we're hoping this works, and also for our stated clerk, David Mears, who's still hospitalized. He's lost 40 pounds and, of course, his hair. And he can't work right now, so we need prayers for him.
I'd like prayers for my daughter-in-law, Deborah, who's in the hospital. She had blood clots in her descending aorta and has been sick all summer long. She has a seventh grader over here at Nathan Bishop, and then an 18-year-old, and they have been on their own with some help from the family, but basically getting themselves to school and doing whatever they need to do, which is pretty impressive. Debbie is, she's too young to have this condition, and they haven't figured out really what's going on, but it is quite serious. So thank you for your prayers.
Joy this morning. Tuesday was Colin's first birthday.
As the waters wash over this wide world, O God, we are reminded of the gift that water is, and we give thanks. We know, O God, of its power also to bring harm and destroy, and so we pray in joy and sorrow this day, out of trust and fear, in hope and love for signs of your grace and healing in our worlds. We pray for our larger community and world and all of the connections that we share, particularly this day for Kenya, for the ways in which your web of life weaves in and through our little place here in Providence, Rhode Island, to that faraway country. Our hearts are lifted to them this day. We pray for signs of hope, for wisdom, for world leaders, for peace and justice for all your people there and in the Middle East. We give thanks, O God, for your healing power for those in our midst, for Jackie's safe return home, and for the support and encouragement that we might provide her as a community. We lift our prayers this day for those yet in need of healing, for Deborah and her family as they cope with her hospitalization, for Betty Sears, for Walter, for David Mears, for Ken and my sister Jen. We give thanks, O God, this day for the passion of teaching, for our teachers and students in so many different schools and programs in these days, for college students and grad students and med students that have joined with our community here, for our confirmation class, for Ginny and Juliet and Bob as they have led our youth in retreat this weekend. Help us, O Lord, always to be a people who show forth our faith in all times and places, in all circumstances and realities, in active and spoken word. We pray for our partners in the presbytery listed in our prayer concerns this morning. We give thanks, O God, this day for the joys and blessings of life, for the new renovations at Bryant and for the energy to live into them, for the safety that we have heard from those we love in Kenya, for Mary's daughter-in-law, for Colin's first birthday. We pray, O Lord, for those who grieve, for the people of Kenya and all who are victims of unexpected and uncertain attacks on life, for griefs near and distant, for the connections that we have to them. We pray, O Lord, for your strength for Aaron and Kristen in these days. As we journey ever together in these days, let us remember that our Lord journeyed in many years ago and journeys with us now. Through and in his power, we live and move and have our being, for he ever seeks to guide our lives and loves. It is in this power that we pray together the prayer he taught us to pray, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen.
Now it's time for our children to come forward.
Good morning. Good morning, everybody. How are you guys this morning? You doing good? Okay. Hi, come on. Let's wait for our friends, okay? Good morning. Good morning. May I ask you guys to do something with me? Okay? I'm gonna put the microphone down for just a second. So I want you to watch me really quickly, and then we're going to do it together, okay? I am so happy that you are here, and that I am here, and that we are all here together. This morning, I actually made a book for us. I'm going to show it to you. Oh, this is my surprise. I'm going to put it behind my feet. And in my book, I have all kinds of pictures of what it means to be on a journey together, what it means when you feel safe and warm, and the things that make us happy by being together in God's house. Shall I show you? Here we go. It has stickers, and I have one for you this morning. Take a look. What's that right there? Do you feel comfortable and warm and safe when you're in a bed? I do. Yes, absolutely. What's this right here? Spaghetti, what's that right there? When we come to church, we get to have food. We communion together, don't we? We have bread. We have a meal in God's house. What's this right here? You see that? Lights. Lights guide us home. Lights in this church. What's this right here? Yes, and what are they doing? What are they doing? They are, and are they doing it together? We work together, don't we? When you work together, isn't it nice to do things with people? Isn't it makes things a little nicer and sometimes a little easier? All right, I have one more I want to show you. I love this book. What about right here? What's that? It's a house. We feel safe in the house of the Lord. Yeah, actually it is. Did you hear him? It's the house where the chickens are. There are all kinds of houses, and that's my favorite because my grandmother used to raise chickens. So let's do our gesture one more time. Go deep and wide. One more time. And wide on the journey. Let's close our eyes and say our prayer for the morning. You ready? Okay. Dear God, thank you oh so much for the togetherness of this church, our church home. Thank you for bringing us together every Sunday, but please remind us to every day invite many others into the journey with us. Amen. Have a good time in Sunday school. Oh, wait, I got to give you your stickers. Would you take the stickers downstairs and make sure that everybody gets one? Thank you.
The middle school class is meeting upstairs, and children age 3 through 5th grade are downstairs.
Good morning. Our first reading today comes from Psalm 122, verses 1 through 9. I was glad when they said to me, "Let us go to the house of the Lord." Our feet are standing within your gates, O Jerusalem. Jerusalem, built as a city that is bound firmly together. To it the tribes go up, the tribes of the Lord, as was decreed for Israel, to give thanks to the name of the Lord. For there the thrones for judgment were set up, the thrones of the house of David. Pray for the peace of Jerusalem. May they prosper who love you, peace be within your walls, and security within your towers. For the sake of my relatives and friends, I will say, peace be within you. For the sake of the house of the Lord our God, I will seek your good. Our second reading comes from Revelation 21, verses 1 through 7. Then I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth had passed away, and the sea was no more. And I saw the holy city, the new Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a loud voice from the throne, saying, "See, the home of God is among mortals. He will dwell with them as their God. They will be his peoples, and God himself will be there with them. He will wipe every tear from their eyes. Death will be no more. Mourning and crying and pain will be no more, for the first things have passed away." And the one who was seated on the throne said, "See, I am making all things new." Also he said, "Write this, for these words are trustworthy and true." Then he said to me, "It is done. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. To the thirsty, I will give water as a gift from the spring of the water of life. Those who conquer will inherit these things, and I will be their God, and they will be my children." This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
good morning. As we starting a new chapter of the journey, as we read last week from Psalm 122, about the people, travelers, a group of people who just start a journey with a lot of fear and concern about their journey. And before we go deep into this psalm, I want to warn you about two things. It's very hard to hear the word of Jerusalem, and cannot think about the modern day Jerusalem today. So to be fair, we need to put this away before we go to the depth of this place. The second thing is, why is this place is very important, essential to these people? And I can understand, as Protestants, it's very hard for us to think about sites that holy and very important for people. So two things, as before we go deeper, just be worried about. We want to understand why this place was really very important. First, most biblical scholars agree that Psalm was written after the exile. And as you heard this term many times, but I'm going to remind you about what that means, the word exile. The Jewish people were taken to a foreign land where they lived there for 70 years. They felt like any human being who was away from their homeland. They were homesick and also spiritually were in need for a place to provide hope on their journey. They dreamed to be there and to be there with somebody. But remember, the people who were there in the exile, many of them were born, some of them died before they go back to the dreamland. So some of them has no connection with the word Jerusalem except the good words and the conversation they heard about Jerusalem. But they never saw it by eyes. They didn't experience it. They didn't touch Jerusalem. They didn't really understand the meaning of being in the holy place and the holy temple. They listened to the anger of the older people to go back and worship and to practice their religion freely and fully. Maybe it's hard for us to understand why Jerusalem was such a big deal for the Jews in the past. But to refresh your memory, here are some things to remind us why it was important. Jerusalem has been the holiest city in Judaism, and for the whole generations, it was the spiritual homeland of Jewish people since the beginning of Judaism. It holds a lot of good memories. One of the top memories is the story about Abraham offering Isaac as a sacrifice to God in Genesis 22 and verse 2, when God said, "Take your son, your only son Isaac, whom you love, and go to the land of Moriah and offer him there as a burnt offering on one of the mountains that I shall show you." And also, to visit Jerusalem was a command from God in Deuteronomy when he said to visit and worship in the place that God will choose. "For the Lord God blesses you with produce and blesses the work of your hands, and you shall rejoice." And the most important piece is David's is being the iconic figures for the old ancient Judaism, and especially the state of Jerusalem. King David captured Jerusalem and his desire to build a Jewish temple there. And it's described in the book of Samuel and the book of Psalms. Many of King David's yearning about Jerusalem have been adopted into popular prayers and songs. David was dreaming to build the first temple, and with his hope is feeling like, if me as a human being, I can live in a palace in a nice place like that, so God deserves a better place than that. But God understands his desire and told him, "Because your hand is really mixed with blood, you cannot build my house. But your son will complete the mission." The first temple, known as the Temple Mount today, was built by King Solomon, the son of David. But when the Babylonians captured the city 580 BC, they destroyed the temple and they sent the Jews to exile. They didn't only destroy the temple, but they destroyed the walls, because the temple and the wall, they were the most important things for the Jews. So all the worshipers could not understand what that means to go back and worship in the house of the Lord. They heard about it, but today they understand we are there, we're standing there. Jerusalem is an important place to Jews because according to Jewish tradition, Jerusalem has been the center of their national life for more than 3,000 years, since the conquest by King David. It was the capital city of Judea under the descendants of David. And the last thing to remember, and I think if we know some Jews, we'll see many Jews still practice that until today. Jews outside Jerusalem have to pray facing the direction toward Jerusalem. And a famous statement you hear from Jews, next year in Jerusalem. Or the last one, even when they bury their own people until today, they have to face toward Jerusalem. So Jerusalem in the past, in the present, and in the future is a very important piece for them. But for these people we're talking about long time ago, in Psalm 122, we learned about the fear of being on the road, but at the same time they were able to turn to God as the source of peace and security. When they remember that God is the creator who creates and keeps engaging in, with his creation. In Psalm 122, we can see the extreme joy when they approach the holy city and when they realize the joy of being in the house of the Lord. It was a significant moment for them to see what was really in our head, and what we heard wasn't just really a wishful thinking, but now we're really touching it as a reality. It was a significant moment because it unified them with others. The miracle of this joy is helped them to forget the pain of the journey, as we mentioned last week, and gave them the power to stand. Our feet are standing in your gates, Jerusalem. You can see how much they have to be tired from the journey, physically, but because of the excitement of being there, they even forgot their physical pain. They are standing firmly and strongly and wondering and touching and feeling this is a great moment. And this reminds me of when we find the connection between what we see, this is the powerful thing. And I remember how many times I went to ancient Egyptian sites in Egypt and I really didn't care. But I remember when I went with some scholars from McCormick and I started to explain what's on the Egyptian pharaonic temples and find the connection between how we understand the Bible. And when I found the connection between my faith and my recent life and this ancient history, then I start to be excited and find my eyes open and my heart is open. So when we find the connection between the past and the present and the future, that's where we find there is a rule for us and there is a place for us. In verse 3, the psalmist turned around to see the crowd that came from far, far away. And he's telling us about the beauty of unity that was formed through the misery and hope. The writer used an image that was known to every Jewish when he said, Jerusalem built as a city that is bound firmly together. He meant it literally and spiritually. As the temple was source of pride for Jews, also the wall that reflect being secured was also a source of pride as a Jewish person. But when the Babylonian invade the city, they destroy the temple and the wall. And when Nehemiah returned to build the wall again, it was not an easy mission, but he invited the whole nation to work together. Their need to face the problem became the mission that bound them together, and building the wall wasn't just only to finish the wall, but to bring them together, to build each other through the spirit that lead them to know each other more than learn about how to work together closer and even how to handle each other better. This was a new way to see the journey of every Jew to the temple as something was commanded by God, but also it was a reminder of unity between the tribes that were divided for different reasons. It's a reminder for us today too. When we come to meet God and worship, it's not a place where we need to hide from our mission and our work to be involved in the society. It's a place where we can charge our spiritual need, charge our soul and our body and our minds to go out and spread the hope and love for people. This is not a place to hide. This is a place to be fed and to gain power and strength. When we come to worship on Sunday morning, this is a place where we need to find hope when we feel hopeless. And this is a place where we feel like this is an end of a journey. This is the place when we feel the journey is not over. There is always a new chapter we can start. Unity is a great destination that included in this psalm. But this great destination included a great challenge with many blessings. As we know, we hear this a lot about misery needs company. But if misery was the exile for the Jewish people, or if misery was being vulnerable on the road and everybody's afraid, but now the travelers were in a better place. There is no misery. They are fine. They are safe. They can enjoy their time. There is no much need rationally to each other as they were in the exile and on the road. But the psalmist is reminding them about the center of creating safe community is where justice applies to everybody. And when people feel they are treated equal with respect, then peace will be the product of justice. And the psalmist puts justice as the top value that kept their society united and peaceful. He reminded them the difference between David's thrones and the others is not we are better, but because we can do things different. Not because our system is better, we have judges and others have not. Or we have a state and the other does not. Or we have a democratic system and others does not. It's about how we do things. Everybody, every nation around, around Judea, they know how to rule. They even have ancient states. But the difference God has told them, when you start the idea of having thrones, is to establish justice and to keep justice in the center. And in other words, these thrones will exist to do justice and not to gain power above others. If we need to remember anything about Jerusalem, it's about a city that built and should be always an icon for justice. And the summary of the psalm is the fruit of justice is unity, and the fruit of unity is peace. And the word peace, as we all know, is shalom. And it is the same word that why Jerusalem or Orushalim is a city of peace. It was named because of the main characters, the main value, the main hope of this city to stand on hell and being a city of peace and justice and safety for everybody. The psalmist is reminding us today, prayer is the source that keeps us not being ignorant and arrogant, not being full of ourselves when we do something, and not also not being shameful of ourselves when we cannot approach something. The prayer that keeps us from really being the best enemy of ourselves. The prayer that keeps us as a mirror that reflect and help us to see there are more you can do. This is not, destination is not over. You just finished one chapter of your journey, but there is a lot of excitement. There is a lot of good things coming on. The psalmist reminding us to pray to keep the source of peace and justice, to keep us from being prejudiced to others, and to keep us to be fair as much as we can. The peace that makes people experience not only peace from the towers and the walls and the checkpoints, but the peace that comes within ourselves, the inner peace. The peace that really helps us to create a better outside society, even when the outside is full of anger and hate and killing and all these bad news we hear every day on the TV. But the peace that nobody can take from us, because it's with us, and it's the connection between us and God. Peace that make people move from being strangers to be called as a family and friends. And when the writer said relatives and friends, he really referred to people who started the journey together. And when they started the journey, they were strangers. They didn't know each other. But by the end of this journey, he found the benefit of being on the road. He called them friends. He called them relatives. You are not any more foreigners. We are together in this. And God called us to be united when we can practice justice. And as we see this, the real city right now today in Jerusalem, 2013, is far away from the old city we hear in the Old Testament, and is far away from the one we hear in the New Testament and the Revelation. But I think this is not to make us disappointment, but to make us to say there is always a new beginning, and there is a way we can be better. And the way we can do that by coming together, worshiping together in the house of the Lord. Amen.
Let us read the affirmation of faith together. Christ Jesus, though he was in the form of God, did not regard equality with God as something to be exploited, but emptied himself, taking the form of a slave, being born in human likeness, and being found in human form, he humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death, even on a cross. Therefore, God also highly exalted him and gave him the name that is above every name, so that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bend in heaven and on earth and under earth, and every tongue should confess to the glory of God. Jesus Christ is Lord. Let us gather our tithes and offerings to offer the Lord. God, you are a powerful God. We thank you for your abundant love and the blessings you have placed in our lives. Help us recognize your spirit in us and guide us in effective ministry in our daily lives. We pray that your will is done through these resources and that you allow us to bless others. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Now to him who is able to keep you from falling and to make you stand without blemish in the presence of his glory with rejoicing. To the only God, our Savior, through Jesus Christ, our Lord, be glory, majesty, power, and authority before all time and now and forever. Amen.